not just weekends. I nodded. I have to go into the city to take my teaching exam next week, but other than that, I don't have any plans to leave. Ford squinted. I could see the wheels in his head turning. He rubbed his chin.
The entire summer, huh?
I nodded hesitantly. He looked at his sister.
You know what? Go ahead. Stay. I think it might be good for you to spend time out here this summer after all.
He flashed a mischievous smile.
In fact, I'm looking forward to spending as much time out here as I can, too.
Well, that most certainly backfired. Later that night, I was studying on the couch when Ford knocked on the door.
Hey, I have to head back into the city early tomorrow morning before traffic. I just wanted to talk to you about Bella.
Sure, come in. He looked at the books strewn all over and my pile of homemade flashcards.
Cramming for your exam next week?
Yeah, it's on Thursday.
You know, I speak some Italian. Maybe I can give you a hand, if you need it.
You do?
I did a semester abroad in Rome, my second year of college. Actually, I was only there about 7 weeks.
He looked away.
That's where I was when I got the call about my parents' accident.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. That must have been awful, getting a call like that when you're so far away. He nodded.
Say something in Italian.
Like what?
I don't know. Anything.
I thought for a moment, then said, Spero davvero di non bombardare questo test. I really hope I don't bomb this test. Ford grinned.
I have no idea what you said, but it sounded sexy as fuck.
I laughed. Let me hear you say something. He cocked his head to one side.
Mi piace molto il tuo aspetto senza un reggiseno.
I really like the way you look without a bra on. My eyes widened, and I looked down. Sure enough, my nipples were practically piercing through my shirt. I hadn't been expecting company. I folded my arms across my chest. It's cold in here.
Really? I'm kind of warm.
So damn cocky. You said you wanted to talk to me about Bella? He chuckled.
Yeah. If the house starts shaking from a party, will you let me know? I won't be able to get back out here until next weekend.
I'm sure she'll be fine. But if it makes you feel better, I'll keep an eye out for her.
Thanks. She's a pain in my ass. But I want to keep her out of trouble.
I smiled. You have a soft side for it. He leaned in and kissed me on the cheek before moving his mouth to my ear.
I have a hard side I'd like to show you too.
My entire body joined my nipples in zinging to life. Ford pulled his head back. He took one look at my face and a wicked grin spread across his.
The entire summer. I can't wait.
Chapter 9.
I'm so happy that's over. I breathed out a long sigh of relief. Mark and Allison were already outside waiting for Desiree and me to finish the test. They'd gotten done early, but I'd wanted to take every last available minute to review my answers a third time.
What did you think?
Mark asked. It was easier than I'd thought it would be, yet I was afraid to jinx myself and say that out loud.
I felt prepared.
Desiree smiled. Me too. Although I'm not sure I have the best judgment on how things are going. I also thought my ex, Travis, was going to propose the night he dumped me. We all laughed.
So what is everyone doing for the summer? It's going to feel like we have a lot of free time without classes and studying, Mark said.
I'm going to Minneapolis for a few weeks to watch my nephew because my sister needs to have a hysterectomy, Allison said.
I'm sorry to hear that, but what a great sister you are to help out. I'm spending the summer in Montauk. We have a house out there. If you get back early, you should come out and relax a little. I looked at all three of my study partners.
You all should.
We? You're doing a summer share? Allison asked. I shook my head.
No, sorry. We is me and my ex-husband. I have the house this summer, but we take turns. It's been almost 2 years, yet I still slip up and say we sometimes. But we do own it together. So I guess, technically, it's okay in this instance.
I've never been to Montauk, Mark said.
And you've lived in New Jersey your entire life?
Mark laughed.
Yep, born and raised right in Edgewater. I've never been to the Hamptons either. Guess I should rectify that sometime soon.
You really should. I personally could do without the Hamptons. In the summer, it's mostly just upscale shops and mobbed with polished people. Montauk is way more laid back, for the most part. An old fishing village and more casual. I love it out there.
Well then, I'll have to make a point of coming out this summer. Maybe you can give me a tour if I do.
Sure. I looked at Allison and Desiree. Really, guys, let's keep in touch. You're all welcome if you come out. We hugged and promised to call soon, and then I headed to my car. I'd had to turn off my phone before the test started, so I powered it back on. As soon as the screen illuminated, Ford's name popped up with a new text message.
Ford. Well, how'd it go? Don't keep me hanging.
I smiled. Ford and I had been texting all week. Initially, the texts had been about Bella. He'd asked if I'd seen her and how things were going. But the last few days, they'd had nothing to do with his sister. It felt like we were back to when we'd first started texting, before I knew Donovan 620 was Ford, the boy next door. I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy our communications. He was witty, and though I shouldn't have, I looked forward to hearing from him. I might have even been checking my phone like a teenage girl the last few days. I knew it was wrong, but I could justify it in my head as keeping in contact because of Bella. It was the right thing to do. And now, he was just being cordial, asking how my test had gone. That was it. He was being neighborly. I couldn't not respond. I sighed, knowing full well that I was full of shit, yet texted back anyway. Valentina. I feel like I did okay. He texted back immediately. Ford.
Excellent. We'll need to celebrate this weekend.
I hated that I got a flutter in my belly reading that he'd be in Montauk again soon. Valentina. You'll be out this weekend?
Ford. Already here. Got back about an hour ago.
I masked how I really felt. Valentina. Oh, that's nice. I'm sure Bella must be happy with some company.
Ford. Forget her. Hoping you'll be happy with some company, too.
I didn't want to answer truthfully, so I decided against responding at all. The man made me flustered to begin with, and I needed to drive. I'd see him tomorrow. So I tossed my phone into my purse and started the car. The man made me flustered. Boy. Think of him as a boy, Valentina. I wanted to so badly. But it was becoming harder and harder to remember his age. Hey, I yelled over to Ford as I walked out onto my back deck. He blinked a few times and looked up from his laptop. I thought he'd seen me come out, but apparently he hadn't.
You're back.
Just got in a few minutes ago. How's Bella?
She's good. Just left for work. The house is still standing, so I guess things went okay.
I smiled. I'd planned to sit on the back deck and enjoy the late afternoon sun, but it felt weird now since we were both alone. Our houses stood so close together that we could probably jump from one deck to the other if we had to. Glad it worked out. You look busy. I'll let you get back to work. I waved and turned to go back into the house. Ford's voice stopped me as my hand hit the handle to the sliding glass door.
Wait, he called. What are you up to now?
I was going to go for a walk, I lied. It took me almost 4 hours to get here with all the traffic. Figured my legs could use a good stretch.
Mind if I join you? I need to stop staring at this computer.
Sure. That'd be great. I'm going to go change. I'll be back in a few minutes. Changing turned into fixing my hair, brushing my teeth, and touching up my makeup. I was really disappointed in myself for putting in so much extra effort. When I walked back out to the deck, I found Ford waiting at the bottom of my stairs with two glasses of wine. I had two beers in my hand. Guess we both had the same idea.
Great minds. Do you want to leave one here or double fist it for our walk?
Why don't we sit for a few minutes before we start walking? I'm not sure I'm capable of maneuvering through the sand without spilling both.
Good idea.
We sat side by side on the third stair from the sand. I chose to drink the wine first, while Ford picked up the beer.
Did you bring beer because you know I like it?
He asked. I smiled. Did you bring the wine because it's what I drink? He smiled back.
Only because we don't have any olive juice in the house. I'll have to remedy that.
Our legs brushed against each other, and arousal shot through me. Seriously, it was just a leg. What the hell was wrong with me? My libido had been dead for so long, and it had to pick a totally inopportune time to wake up? Nothing like a smidge of alcohol to put it back to sleep. I swallowed half my glass of wine and tried to be myself.
You looked like you were stressed sitting in front of your laptop. Everything okay at work?
Nah, it wasn't work. I was weeding through the mountains of women on Match.com who messaged me.
The burn of jealousy crept through my body, making me feel warm.
Oh, that's nice.
Ford bumped my shoulder with his.
Kidding. I haven't been on Match since we started talking. You?
I shook my head. Not wanting to analyze why either of us hadn't gone back to the dating site, I moved our conversation along.
I must have misread concentration for stress.
He shook his head.
You actually didn't. I have some big decisions to make at work that are weighing on my mind.
You said you work in real estate, right?
Yeah. My family owned a commercial storage business, and my dad and I had started to move into temporary office space, too. The commercial storage side of things doesn't do as well anymore, so we'd begun transitioning the buildings we own into something new. The storage facilities convert into pretty nice temporary office suites. High ceilings, exposed ductwork, and brick. We converted one before the accident, and it's done really well. People love the idea of having a place to go work with everything available to them. Receptionist, printers, Wi-Fi, furniture, but without the long-term lease commitment and expense. Most people only work from an office a few days a week, so sharing the cost and space with others works out.
Wow, that's amazing. Were you a business major in college?
He shook his head.
Architecture.
Well, I guess converting the space goes with that then, right?
Yeah. My dad was the business side of things. I just saw the potential in the old buildings. It was something we were doing together.
He pushed around the sand with his foot and grew quiet. It must have been a lot to step into everything after your parents. He nodded.
My parents were smart about contingency planning, though. They had a trust in place, so if anything happened to them, the stock in their corporation went to me and my sister, but their CFO became the president until I graduated college and turned 21. Once I did those things, I had the option of becoming co-president, which I did. Then at 25, I became the sole president.
So you've had help the last few years, but now you're on your own?
Technically, yeah. But Devin, the CFO, is still there for me whenever I need him. We have a few more commercial storage buildings with leases coming due, so I'm struggling to decide whether to convert them into more temporary office space. Now would be the time. That's the stress you read on my face while I was on my laptop.
I take it that's not an easy decision.
It is, and it isn't. The storage business still makes a profit, but the office space is a much higher return on investment. One of the buildings that could be available to convert soon is the first one my parents bought 25 years ago. It was special to them, so it feels wrong to change things. They worked so hard to build what they had.
I might not be a business mogul, but I knew adding emotion to any business decision made it so much harder. Let me ask you something. If your father was still here, and he saw the numbers for the office space compared to the storage business, what would he do?
Ford smiled.
He'd convert them all, except for the building they started with. He'd keep that one for my mom.
I shrugged. Well, maybe that's your answer, then. He thought about that for a minute and then nodded.
You know what? You're right. I'm looking at it wrong. I should be honoring my father by doing what I think he would do, not by freezing his business in time.
I bumped my shoulder to his playfully.
Boy, that was easy. Your job seems like a piece of cake.
Ford chuckled and finished off his beer. He stood and offered his hand to help me up.
Come on, it's your turn. We'll solve all your problems during our walk.
What if I don't have any problems?
He smirked.
Oh, but you do. Your head and your body are at odds on a certain issue. That's one we should discuss in detail. So when do you get your results from the test you took?
Ford and I had walked about 45 minutes down the beach. Behind us, the sun was beginning to go down, and the sky lit up with gorgeous shades of orange and purple. So we turned around to head back and enjoy the view.
17 days?
That's not too bad.
No, not at all. I did my student teaching with an older woman who said it took 2 months to get her results years ago.
Ford smirked.
What? I was just thinking how you're going to be that teacher, the one who gives all the high school boys wet dreams.
I wrinkled my nose. Ugh, don't even say that.
What? I totally would have been fantasizing about you if you were my teacher.
Ford chuckled.
In all seriousness, I think it's cool you went back to school and got your degree, decided to become a teacher. Did you always want to be one?
Yeah, ever since third grade when I had Mrs. Moynihan. I loved to read, but I had a weird obsession with outer space at the time. Every Monday and Friday we would go to the school library and pick out books to read during quiet time. All the other kids picked out books like Harold and the Purple Crayon, while I wanted to read books about Pluto and space asteroids. Some of my classmates had begun to make fun of me, calling me Valentina from Venus, so I switched to books similar to the other kids, even though I didn't really enjoy them. Anyway, Mrs. Moynihan noticed, and one day at the library she handed me a book she said she thought I'd like. The outside was a regular, popular kids' book, but inside was a book about the solar system. She'd taken the paper cover off a book and put it on what I really wanted to read, so I could read in private.
That's awesome.
I kept changing out the covers until 2 weeks after we got back from Christmas break, when we had a guest speaker, a retired astronaut. He brought an old spacesuit, and all the kids went crazy. The next week, they all started taking out books about astronauts on library days. Mrs. Moynihan was always special to me. I kept in touch with her for years. When I was in 10th grade, she died, and my mom took me to her wake. We walked over to Mr. Moynihan to give condolences, and he recognized my name. Turned out, the reason he remembered my name was because his wife had spent an entire Christmas break handwriting letters to 150 astronauts, begging them to come speak at the school because she had a student who needed the others to see how cool space could be.
Wow. 150 handwritten letters. That's dedication.
I nodded. What did you want to be when you were little?
Ford grinned. Well, it changed as I got older, but in kindergarten, my teacher had us draw pictures of what we wanted to be. I drew Santa Claus.
You wanted to be Santa?
Don't laugh. It's a damn good job. You only work one night a year. You get to fly around on a sleigh pulled by kick-ass reindeer, and everyone leaves you cookies on the table when you stop by.
Santa works all year making the toys. He shrugged.
I thought the elves did all that.
What happened after you found out Santa wasn't real?
Ford abruptly stopped in place, and his eyes bulged. Santa's not real.
The two of us cracked up. When we started walking again, Ford said,
You're going to think I'm full of shit. But after I realized the Santa thing wasn't going to work out, I wanted to be an astronaut.
I shoved his arm. You're just saying that because I told you I was obsessed with space. Ford drew an X across his chest.
I swear. But it does make sense why our connection is so strong. We're both space nerds at heart.
He was teasing me, but he wasn't wrong. Our connection was strong, even before I knew his personality came attached to a gorgeous face and ridiculously hard body. I'd felt it too. Ford made me laugh and feel good about myself. I tamped down that thought and steered our conversation to safer territory. So how did you wind up going to school for architecture if you were such a space nerd?
I was actually a dual applied science and architecture major in college the first 2 years, but dropped the science in my third.
What made you focus on architecture? He looked over at me, and it seemed like he was debating how to answer. Finally, he shrugged.
Life. I'd been living away in Boston at college, and after the accident, I wanted Annabella to stay in New York and finish school with her friends. We have a pretty small family. My dad was an only child, and my mom has one sister. My Aunt Margaret lives in Ohio and offered to take us both in, but we'd just lost our parents and experienced enough change to last a lifetime. So I moved back home, and Bella and I stayed together in our parents' apartment while I finished my degree and started to work full-time in the company. The change to one major just seemed more practical. I didn't have as much free time to do the work for two difficult majors.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about the logistics of them losing their parents, what had happened immediately after his parents died. Naturally, I'd assumed it had been a life-changing event, to lose both young parents unexpectedly in one day. But Ford had sacrificed so much for his little sister. He'd become a parent with a teenage daughter and an inherited business to run overnight. The choices he'd made were noble and mature. I reached out and touched his arm. Not every person would have given up what you did.
Trust me. I had my moments where I didn't do the right thing. A few years back, my aunt had to step in and set me straight. One morning, I walked into the office and sat at my desk, and it hit me that I was a 45-year-old man at 22. I had a 16-year-old kid, lived in my parents' house, and was even sitting in my father's chair. I felt like my own life had disappeared, and I'd literally become my father.
I understood some of how he felt. Getting pregnant at 17 meant the abrupt end of my youth in a lot of ways. I get it. I vividly remember being home one Friday when I was 20. My husband was sleeping on the couch at 8:30, and I had a 2-year-old sleeping in the other room. I flipped on the TV, put my feet up, and started to watch Family Feud. My mom used to watch it all the time, but with a different guy hosting the show. I looked down, realized I was in my pajamas at 8:30 on a Friday night, and it hit me that I'd turned into my mother. Ford looked over at me.
What did you do?
I got dressed in clothes that no longer felt right to wear, put the baby monitor next to my sleeping husband, and went out with Eve. I smiled, remembering that weekend. I'd stayed out for almost 2 days, but in the end, Eve had to practically carry me home because I was drunk and crying so hard because I missed my son. I partied for 2 days, then was in bed sick for 3, but I definitely wondered if I'd made the right choices a few times.
Yeah, I did something similar, except my rampage lasted almost a year. I'd started to screw up at work, was bringing women home while I lived with my little sister, and I blew through a boatload of money from my parents' life insurance. My aunt finally called me on it. She told me to get over myself, because while being my father might not be what I'd planned, I should be honored to stand in the man's shoes at all.
He nodded.
She was right. Plus, Mrs. Peabody called me about 15 minutes after my aunt finished reading me the riot act and told me to get my head out of my ass.
My brows drew together. Mrs. Peabody? The woman you mentioned that has premonitions or something, right?
Yeah. She sometimes wakes up in the middle of the night with these strong feelings. She's had them since she was a kid. But that day, she called me right after my aunt left and said she had a feeling something bad was going to happen to me.
He chuckled.
Then she told me to sober up and pull my head out of my ass, right before she hung up on me.
Who is she?
It's a long story, but I dialed her by accident a few years ago. At least, I think it's an accident. She doesn't. One night, back when I was in a shitty place, I'd been attempting to drunk dial some woman I'd met. I dialed wrong and reached Mrs. Peabody. We started talking, and I rambled on and told her my life story. She said she'd been up late, expecting a call because of a dream she had that a stranger needed her help.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. He laughed.
Yeah. That's the tip of the iceberg with Mrs. Peabody. She's 76 and lives in an assisted living facility out in Wyoming.
And you kept in touch with this woman after that?
I still keep in touch with her. It's been about 3 years now. The day after my drunk dial, I woke up and vaguely remembered talking to someone. So I looked through my missed calls and dialed the last number. Mrs. Peabody answered, and we got to talking again. She had just left the podiatrist's office and found out she needed to have her toe amputated the next day. She's diabetic and has circulation issues. Anyway, we talked for a while, and I wasn't sure if she was crazy, clairvoyant, lonely, or just eccentric. I'm still not entirely sure. But she sounded nervous about the surgery, and it was obvious she just needed to talk. So we spent a few hours on the phone again. Only that time, she did most of the talking. I figured I owed her one. After that, I reverse-searched her telephone number and got an address to send some flowers for her recovery.
He shrugged.
We've been talking a few times a month ever since.
That's a little bizarre, yet also oddly sweet. Though I do believe some people have special gifts like that.
Oh, yeah?
He smirked.
Then I feel inclined to tell you Mrs. Peabody called this morning and said if my neighbor didn't sleep with me, something bad might happen to me.
I squinted. You're so full of shit. He chuckled.
Okay, but if I break a leg tomorrow, that's all on you.
We stopped as we reached my house and stood at the bottom of the stairs. We had to have walked 5 or 6 miles, yet I could have kept walking for another 5 talking to him. It was just so easy to do. For what it's worth, you should be proud of how you've handled things since the accident. Especially your sister. You might not have done everything perfectly, but she seems like a regular 19-year-old who's pretty well adjusted.
Yeah, I had a lot of help, and it wasn't always pretty. But I wound up in the right place. Even taking a different path than I'd expected.
Modesty was another quality I found attractive in a man. Why couldn't Ford be an egomaniac? Even though I'm divorced and starting over at 37, I wouldn't change a thing either.
You see, we're not as different as you think.
Maybe not in values, but an entire generation gap stretched between us.
Oh yeah? Who's your favorite musician?
I listen to everything, but I'm into Jack Johnson right now.
Never heard of him. My favorite band growing up was the Backstreet Boys.
Ford shrugged.
That's not a difference. That's an opportunity to share new things with each other.
I don't have an Instagram or Snapface.
You mean Snapchat.
Whatever. I just proved my own point. I don't even know what social media is called anymore. Are you on Facebook?
No.
Let me guess, because Facebook is for old people?
No, because we don't know my mother's passwords, and when I had an account, it kept sending me reminders of stuff with her tagged after the accident.
Shit, now I felt awful.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
It had grown dark, and Ford and I lingered at the bottom of my stairs for a while longer, but eventually it felt like I needed to call it a night. I thanked him for joining me on my walk.
Hey!
He yelled up as I reached the top step.
Have dinner with me tonight?
I frowned. Not because he'd asked, but because I wanted to. I really, really wanted to.
I can't. Have plans already.
I shook my head.
Too tired from your drive out and our walk?
I shook my head again.
I'm sorry, Ford.
He gave me a sad smile.
It's okay. I'll wear you down. I don't give up easily. Good night, beautiful. Chapter 10.
I heard the music from my kitchen and assumed people must have come to the beach early today. Stirring my coffee, I found myself singing along as I went to enjoy the morning view with my cup of caffeine on the back deck. A shirtless Ford held up a mug as I walked out.
Morning, neighbor.
What a view, all right. I could get used to seeing that every morning. Good morning. I forced my eyes back to the screen door to slide it closed, and then turned to look out at the beach, shielding my eyes. It took me a minute to realize no one was out there yet, and the music was coming from next door. I squinted at Ford. Backstreet Boys just happens to be playing this morning at your house? He grinned and waved for me to join him over on his deck.
Come have your coffee with me and listen to my new favorite band.
I rolled my eyes.
Come on. I downloaded 2 full albums.
I laughed, but went to join the crazy man on his deck anyway.
Boy. Crazy boy.
I walked down my stairs, took a few steps on the sand, and went back up his stairs to the deck. When I reached where Ford was sitting, he stood and took my mug from my hand, setting it down on the table.
What was your favorite song? Wait, let me try to guess. I Want It That Way.
Nope. But I think that was their most popular song. The song Everybody was currently playing. It had a disco dance rhythm to it, and Ford took my hand and led me into a twirl. I giggled when he then took a turn at twirling under our arms. I'm not a great dancer, I said.
No one's watching, I promise.
We fooled around dancing for the rest of the song. It felt really good. When the next one came on, he still had my hand. My eyes lit up after the first few bars. This is it. This was my favorite song. It's called Incomplete.
Yeah? Well then, we definitely can't stop dancing yet.
Ford tugged my hand, and I practically tripped into his arms. Before I could give it any thought, he'd wrapped his other arm around my waist and pulled me flush against him. God, it felt good. It had been a long time since I'd been in a man's arms, especially one with a body so firm. So firm. And he smelled incredible, too. Woodsy. But clean, very masculine. I took a deep breath in, and Ford pressed his hand against my back.
Every muscle in his body felt so hard against my soft. He knew how to slow dance and was confident in his lead, which made my mind wonder if that skill might carry through to the bedroom.
Stop it, Val. Don't go there.
Ford's head ducked down, and he rested his cheek against mine. He sang some of the chorus, about being sexual and rocking your body, and I fully gave in to enjoying the moment. I knew it was dumb, but did I mention how good his hard body felt? This was as close as I would likely get to feeling it pressed up against mine, so hey, why not? I let myself get lost in him, which was why I didn't hear anyone coming until the squeaky screen door of his house slid closed.
Thought we had a no-overnight guest rule, Bella quipped.
I jumped out of Ford's arms and stumbled back, almost falling on my ass. Bella's eyes widened as she caught sight of me.
Oh, Val, I didn't realize it was you. It's so early. I assumed he'd had a girl overnight.
I was so flustered. No, just me. I reached for my coffee on the table. It was Backstreet Boys and, yeah, my favorite old band, and so I should be going. I practically ran from their deck.
Achoo!
God damn it. Bella probably thought I was nuts, but I didn't stop to look back to check. Inside the safety of my own house, I leaned my head against the door. I was breathless from, well, everything. The way it had felt to be in Ford's arms, getting caught red-handed, running up the stairs to my house. What the hell had I been doing allowing that to happen? I'd been so deprived of human contact, contact from a man, that I'd let myself get caught up in a touch that felt good. Eve was right. I really needed to get laid. But at the moment, I really needed a cold shower.
Knock, knock,
Bella called from my back door. I got nervous, thinking she might have been coming over to bawl me out, tell me what a dirty old lady I was for what she'd walked out to see earlier. I took a deep breath and slid the door open.
Hey, what are you up to today?
Nothing.
Want to go to the art show in town? It's outdoors under tents in the square.
I let out the relieved breath I'd been holding.
Oh, I read about that. I didn't realize it started today. My mom and I used to go every year. They had some pretty cool stuff. If you're not into art, they also have jewelry and ceramics, too.
No, I love art shows, especially local ones like this. But, she smiled. Ford left me a credit card and said I can get something for my new apartment. I'm moving out of the dorms next semester. We should go do some damage.
He left you a credit card, so he's not going with you?
She shook her head, seeming unbothered by my asking. For that matter, she didn't seem to care about finding us dancing on the deck earlier either.
He went to the city for a meeting.
Is he coming back? She shrugged.
Tomorrow, I think.
I didn't have anything to do today, so I told Bella I'd go with her. It would be a good distraction from this morning, anyway.
Since Bella drove a small car, we took my Volkswagen in case either of us found anything big we wanted to haul home. After I got over the anxiousness I felt, thinking Bella might say something about Ford and me, I actually had a good time. We walked the aisles and stopped to look at each exhibit. Our taste in art turned out to be pretty similar. Bella bought a colorful print of a surfer riding a wave at Ditch Plains, a local surf spot. It had the most amazing sunset in the background that looked color-enhanced, though it wasn't. While we were waiting in line to get a pretzel, a good-looking boy with sun-bleached blonde hair struck up a conversation about the photo Bella was holding. They were still talking after we'd paid for our pretzel and waters, so I told Bella I was going to go back to a jewelry display we'd passed where I'd liked a ring. Really, I just wanted to give them some privacy, because I thought there might have been a spark between her and the surfer dude. I strolled a few aisles and heard the muffled sound of my cell ringing from inside my purse. Stopping to dig it out, I saw Mark's name flashed on the screen. Since Bella was busy, I figured I might as well answer. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Valentina. What's going on?
I sipped my water.
Not much. Stuffing my face with a pretzel and walking around an art show at the moment.
In Montauk?
Yep, it's a local show in town, but there are a lot of great artists.
Mind if I join you?
I stopped and looked around.
You're here? In Montauk? Not yet, but I will be soon. I just passed a town called Amagansett, so I don't think I'm that far. I had an appointment out in Holbrook today, and as I was parking, it got canceled. Figured, what the hell? I'm halfway to Montauk already, and it's a beautiful day, so why not?
Oh, wow. Amagansett is close.
He was only about 10 miles away, and he'd already passed all of the spots that had heavy traffic. He'd probably be here in 15 minutes. I wasn't sure how I felt about Mark being in Montauk. I'd invited him out, but I'd meant it as an invitation to the study group as a whole. But it felt awkward to say I was too busy now that I'd told him I was strolling around an art show. Besides, Mark was a friend. I shouldn't feel weird about seeing him. He must have sensed my hesitation.
If you're busy, that's okay. I just thought I'd give it a shot.
I shook my head. No, I'm not busy. Of course you're welcome to join me. I'll give you a tour of Montauk if you'd like.
Sweet. That would be great.
Sure enough, 15 minutes later, Mark called and asked where he should park. Bella had finished up her chat with the surfer dude, so we walked over to meet him outside of the tents.
Hey.
We hugged. Mark looked around.
This is really nice. I can't wait to see the whole town.
I grinned.
You pretty much just did. Well, the shopping and commercial part of it anyway. But that's not what I love about Montauk.
I introduced Bella.
This is my neighbor, Annabella. Bella, this is Mark, a friend from school. We were in a study group together, and we both just took our teaching certification exam last week. Mark has never been to Montauk.
Bella shook Mark's hand.
Did you just move to the area or something?
He laughed.
Nope. Just never came this far east on Long Island.
We made small talk for a few minutes, and then I said, well, we still have a few rows of the show we haven't walked through. Do you want to check them out with us? Mark said sure, but Bella bowed out.
If you don't mind, I'm going to skip the rest of the show. We saw most of it anyway.
Oh, okay, I'll give you a ride home.
No, enjoy yourself. I can get one from Freddy.
My brows drew down.
Freddy?
The guy I was talking to in line.
Oh, the surfer dude. My parent mode kicked in.
Do you think that's a good idea? To get into his car? You just met him.
Bella looked amused.
I'll be fine, Mom. He's a local.
But she looked at Mark.
Nice to meet you. I'll see you back at the house later, Val.
Before I could plead my case, she started to walk away. Mark shook his head.
Reminds me of my daughter. She thought I was nuts for being angry that she'd skipped a concert I'd bought her tickets to for Christmas. She hung out with one of the guys from the opening band instead. She was 17 at the time.
I had no experience with a daughter, having just Ryan, but I knew if I had one, I'd want to lock her up until she was 30. I was always kind of sad I never had a girl. Not so sure about that now. Mark and I walked through the exhibit. He'd tried to insist we just check out the artists I hadn't hit yet, but I'd won that battle. After the art show, we hopped in my car so I could give him a tour of Montauk. Our first stop was the lighthouse, followed by the fishing piers where all the commercial and party boats came in. A few had just returned from fishing trips, so we stood around and watched the mates fillet their catches. After, we had a drink outside at the dockside bar. He ordered a beer, and I ordered a virgin strawberry margarita, since I was driving.
So, have you decided where you're going to apply once you're certified?
He asked.
I'd like to find a leave replacement job somewhere close to home, if possible.
Mark's forehead wrinkled.
You want a temp position? Not a tenure-track one?
I sipped my frosty drink.
Yeah, I've been toying with the idea of getting a year of experience, and then doing a year in Italy teaching after that.
Wow. That'll certainly make finding a position late in the summer much easier. Most people prefer something permanent.
It's the first time in my life that I'm able to make choices for only myself. Ryan is away at college for 3 more years. I want to take advantage.
Mark smiled, and his eyes roamed my face.
What?
He shrugged.
Nothing. I just find a woman who likes an adventure sexy.
Not sure how to respond to that, I filled my mouth with enough frosty drink to get a brain freeze.
You ready to get going? I asked. I'll show you a few beaches before it gets dark. The parking is terrible by the ones the surfers frequent, but if you don't mind the walk, they're really pretty.
That sounds fantastic.
Mark stood and went behind my chair, waiting for me to stand so he could pull it out. He was really such a nice guy, such a gentleman.
When I'd pondered whether something could grow between us after he'd asked me on a date, I'd thought maybe if I saw him outside our regular setting where we studied, I might see him in a different light. But the few hours I'd spent with him today proved what I'd suspected. There was no spark. Or maybe it wasn't the last few hours that had proven anything to me, but the hours this morning with Ford where the sparks had been so strong, I still felt the burn. I'd shown Mark around pretty much all of Montauk, and it was dark by the time I drove him back to town where he'd parked. I pulled up behind his car and left my engine idling. Well, this was a really nice surprise, Mark. And I'd totally forgotten how pretty some of the beaches we stopped by today are. I tend to stay on the beach right behind my house, but I'm definitely going to be revisiting a few of the local ones we saw. I needed this little tour today.
So your house is right on the beach, then?
I nodded. It's up on stilts, so the backyard is the sand.
Wow. Would it be too much to ask to see it before I head back?
I really wanted to just go home, shower, and climb into bed, but I felt funny saying no. Sure. It's not too far from town, right down Old Montauk Highway.
I'll follow you.
Okay. On the short drive to my house, I started to get antsy for some reason. I knew it was stupid, because Ford and I weren't dating or anything. Yet for some reason, I didn't want him to see me pull up with Mark. Not to mention, whatever anxiousness I felt, whether right or wrong, was ridiculous because Ford wasn't even in Montauk tonight. Bella had said he planned to spend the night in the city. Except he must have had a change of plans. The moment my headlights turned into the driveway, they landed on a set of eyes next door. Ford was sitting on the front steps of his house, drinking a beer. The looming bit of anxiousness I'd felt suddenly turned into full-blown panic. I took a few deep breaths as I parked, telling myself I was being ridiculous and wasn't doing anything wrong. I could drag Mark back to the house to sleep with him if I wanted to. In fact, that's probably exactly what I should be doing tonight. In the rearview mirror, I could see that Mark had started to get out of his car, so I had to suck it up. My house and Ford's were only about 20 feet apart. It wasn't like I could pretend I didn't see him sitting there. Mark met me at my car door when I got out and closed it for me. We walked a few steps toward the front stairs, and my eyes locked with Ford's. He didn't say a word, just watched me silently as he drank his beer. Hey, I called, feeling totally awkward. Ford nodded. As awkward as I felt, I couldn't avoid introductions. Mark, this is my... friend? Man making me take cold showers? Guy I met on Match? This is Ford. Mark walked over and extended his hand. Ford didn't get up, but shook it. It was quiet, and I tried to think of something to fill the uncomfortable silence, because it didn't seem like Ford was going to be any help. Ford owns the house. He's Bella's brother. I looked over at Ford, who still hadn't taken his eyes off of me. The intense look on his face made my stomach do a nervous flip. Mark met Bella today at the art fair in town.
Wow. Nice house for such a young guy.
Mark was being his usual friendly self.
I have a daughter I'd like to introduce you to,
he chided. I closed my eyes. I hadn't thought it could feel any more awkward, but yep. That did the trick. Ford's mouth was a straight line as he brought the beer to it and continued the silent treatment. Bella said you had a meeting in the city today and weren't back until tomorrow.
Change of plans.
His eyes darted between Mark and me.
Something came up.
I nodded. While I felt the tension emanating from Ford, at least Mark seemed oblivious.
Nice to meet you,
he said. My eyes caught with Ford's as I started up the stairs. Have a good night. The antsiness I'd felt outside continued when Mark and I escaped into the house. I gave him the grand tour in record speed, showing him the inside, followed by the back deck. The moon lit the beach enough to see the ocean in the dark, and the sound of waves crashing came with a gentle breeze. He marveled over the view. It would have been a magnificent night to sit here, but I was too frazzled. I didn't even do the polite thing and offer him a drink or a cup of coffee. Taking the not-so-subtle hint, Mark said goodbye 10 minutes later. I walked him to the front door, curious to see if my neighbor was still around, but Ford had disappeared. I should have been relieved that he wasn't hovering around anymore, but instead, his absence filled me with an overwhelming anxiety that I didn't quite know what to do with. A good, long soak in the tub with a glass of wine helped take the edge off. Though even after that, I still felt out of sorts and not ready for bed, so I headed down to the kitchen for a refill. I poured wine and stood staring outside the kitchen window that faced Ford and Bella's house. The lights were on, and only Ford's car was home. I knew Bella had to work tonight, so she probably wouldn't be home for a few hours. Maybe I should go over and clear the air? I wasn't dressed, and I had no idea what the hell I'd say. There wasn't anything to discuss, because there wasn't anything between us. So instead, I sipped my wine and stared blankly out at the night. A set of headlights turning into the driveway next to mine brought me back from deep thought. Bella must have gotten off early from the restaurant. I was glad I hadn't gone over there now. But after the car parked, I leaned closer to the window and noticed it wasn't Bella's car. And the woman wearing a dress short enough to show her ass if she bent even slightly was certainly not Ford's sister. My emotions, which had been in turmoil for the last hour, suddenly had no conflict. The burn of jealousy rose from deep within me and heated my cheeks. I watched the woman teeter in her stilettos and walk toward the house. When she reached the stairs, the automatic security lights flashed on, and the face I hadn't been able to see in the dark became clear. Of course, she was gorgeous, and had a killer body, miles and miles of legs, boobs that hadn't become acquainted with gravity yet, too. Young. So, so young. She had a bottle of wine in one hand, and an overnight bag in the other. I felt sick. Yet, like watching a bad car accident, I couldn't look away. As she got to the top of the stairs, Ford opened the door. He must have been waiting for her. Anxious. I looked away when he took her in his arms for an embrace. It shouldn't have hurt so much, but that didn't make it any easier to swallow. I'd just drifted off to sleep when I heard a noise. Sitting up in a fog, I wasn't sure where it had come from, only that it had woken me. I waited to see if I heard it again, because I wasn't positive I hadn't imagined it. But then I heard the noise again. It was coming from downstairs and sounded like it might be the garbage cans rolling around in the breeze. Slipping from bed, I peered out my second-floor window. Our road had no streetlights, and it was too dark to see anything without the exterior house lights. So I went downstairs to turn on the porch light and take a better look. At the bottom of the stairs, I saw the silhouette of a person standing outside my front door. It was late, and I knew Ford had company, so it likely wouldn't be him. Maybe Mark had come back? That didn't seem probable, since he'd left more than an hour ago and would be halfway home by now. My heart sped up as I moved closer to the door. Who is it? It's Ford. That did nothing to slow my rapid pulse. I opened the door. Is everything okay?
No. Can I come in?
Chapter 11. How was your date? I stared out her backsliding glass doors, looking out at the darkness. Valentina stood somewhere behind me. It wasn't a date. I turned and caught her eyes. Sure looked like one. Well, it doesn't matter what it looked like. It wasn't. Mark is a friend from school. We belong to a study group together. I took a few steps toward her. Yeah, I remember you telling me about him. The night he asked you out on a date. She squared her shoulders. How was your date? My brows drew down. Date. Then it dawned on me that she must have seen Nina come in. My cousin, Nina, who came for the weekend to hang out with Bella. I wondered if she was feeling as jealous as I was. So I went with it and let her think what she'd obviously been thinking. Great. Just great. I stuffed my hands in my pockets and shrugged. Nina. Great girl. She left early. I grinned. Nope, she's still next door, getting all settled in for the night. Val looked hurt, but I wanted her to be pissed, so I pushed. Her back leaned against the kitchen sink. I took a few more steps, so I stood right in front of her. Just came over to see if you know of any good romantic restaurants that are open late in town. No. Her eyes shot daggers, and her voice was clipped. Clearly, she wasn't even going to entertain my question and think about it. I moved yet closer, just inside her personal space. She had nowhere to retreat. How about nude beaches? Thought maybe we'd go to a nude beach tomorrow. Her eyes sparked. No. She was definitely jealous, though she did her best not to show it. But where there's a spark, there's fire, so I kept adding gasoline. How about lingerie shops? Nina likes to shop. I hate it, so might as well make it something we can both enjoy. She squinted. Maybe you should go back into the city for the weekend. Not too many shops like that in Montauk. I clicked my mouth and grinned. Shame. How about sex toy shops? Maybe some edible underwear and body paint? Do you think that stains sheets? That did it. I actually saw the spark in her eyes shoot to a flame. You know what, Ford? I really don't want to hear about your sex life. I put one hand on either side of the counter behind her, boxing her in. No? Why not, Val? What's the reason you don't want to hear about me having sex with another woman? I just don't. Do you want to hear about my sex life? My chest burned even hearing her say sex life. I started to get angry. Fuck no. But you know why I don't want to hear about it? She stared at me, steam practically coming out of her nose. Not going to take a guess? Let me fill you the fuck in then. I don't want to hear about your sex life because I'm jealous. Because I want to be the one taking you out on a date and sleeping in your bed, and you feel the same goddamn way I do, but you're too afraid to admit it. She raised her voice. I am not. I leaned in so we were nose to nose. Liar. Admit it. No. Say it. You're crazy. You know what, Val? I'd rather be crazy than a chicken shit. It must suck to finally be free to live a little and be too uptight to act on what you're feeling. She scowled at me. Screw you. My mouth curved to a wicked grin. Is that an invitation? Because I'm right here whenever you want me, and since I'm only 25, I can pretty much fuck on demand. I doubt old man Mark has it in him to go all night. Valentina's chest heaved. I could feel the heat emanating from her body. When I glanced down, I found her nipples protruding through her shirt. She was as turned on as I was, though she wouldn't budge from hiding it beneath her anger. You're such an asshole, she screamed. Fuck it. If I'm an asshole, I might as well be a giant one. There was only one way to win this argument. I wrapped my hands around her cheeks and smashed my lips over her angry mouth. She hesitated for half a second, but once the initial shock wore off, she opened for me and mewled into my mouth. Feeling her tits pushed up against my chest, I pressed her against the kitchen counter and tilted her head to deepen the kiss. Whatever restraint she'd had left gave way, and all hell broke loose. We couldn't get close enough. Grabbing the backs of her thighs, I lifted and guided her legs around my waist. The erection that had started to thicken during our argument grew painfully hard, feeling the wet heat coming from between her legs. Valentina moaned, and anything and everything ceased to exist but the two of us. She dug her nails into my back, and I tugged at her hair. I fucking knew it would be like this. A physical attraction makes for intense chemistry, but a physical and mental connection is damn combustible. I don't know how long we went at it, but eventually we had to come up for air, and the 1 second break filled with panting was enough to allow Val to start to come to her senses. She shoved at my chest and reached to touch her swollen lips. I caressed her face and murmured, "Thanks, Dad." "Dad?" I leaned my forehead against hers. He once told me that the best thing to do when you're having an argument you can't win with a woman you care about is to kiss her. Then you both win. She smiled sadly. "You should probably go home, Ford." I traced her bottom lip with my thumb. "Nina is my cousin. She came to spend the weekend with my sister." Valentina's eyes narrowed. "Your cousin? You thought I had a woman over even after chasing you for a month? I'm not the kind of guy to use another woman to replace the one I want but can't have." She looked down. I put my fingers under her chin and lifted so our eyes met again. "Tell me, Val, did it feel as good kissing Mark as it did kissing me?" It might have been an arrogant statement, but I knew without a doubt that kissing anyone did not feel like what had just happened, and I was willing to bet the feeling was mutual. "I didn't kiss Mark, and it wasn't a date. Not that it's any of your business if it was." I looked back and forth between her eyes. Does he know it wasn't a date? She shook her head. You should go. It's late. I might have pushed my way to that kiss, but I wasn't actually an asshole. Plus, I knew her head was still fighting with her body, and it would take a while for them to be aligned, if that were even possible. I wasn't taking the risk that I'd only ever have that one kiss with her. So I nodded and leaned in, brushing my lips with hers once more. Good night, beautiful. The kiss might have been over, but the memory was the gift that kept on giving. In the shower, I jerked off to the sounds she'd made while my lips were pressed to hers, to the feel of how wet she was, even through our clothing. I was so pathetic that I sniffed my own fucking shorts, hoping some of her juices had come through onto them. In bed, I wondered what she was doing at this exact moment. Were her fingers inside of herself? I closed my eyes and imagined her lying spread eagle in her bed, her wild dark hair splayed all over her pillow, and her big blue eyes glazed over as she pumped her fingers in and out of her tight pussy. Fuck. I really needed to jerk off again. But instead, I reached for my phone on the nightstand. If she wasn't already regretting our kiss, she would be at some point, and I wanted to let her know I felt no remorse. In fact, I wanted her to know I was fucking elated the kiss had happened, and I'd come home to celebrate it. Ford, I'm not sorry I kissed you. I watched as the text changed from sent to delivered to read, but no response came. All right, well, at least you're listening. So I continued. Ford, I enjoyed it so much that I just came to the memory. Sent, then delivered, then read, again. I smiled when no return text came. I pictured her sitting in her bed, struggling with her own desire, her eager hand at the waistband of her underwear. What was that? You want to hear more? Well, okay then. Ford, my cock was all lathered up and hard. I closed my eyes and imagined my hand was you. I heard the little sound you made when I yanked your hair. You liked that, didn't you? I felt your gorgeous tits pressed up against my chest. I bet you'll like it when I take your nipple between my teeth and tug hard, too. Sent, delivered, read. Ford, I came so hard, so fucking hard, but I wish it had been inside of you. Sent, delivered, read. Ford, tell me, Val, did you touch yourself when I left? Did you think of me? Did you use your hand? God, what I wouldn't give to suck on those fingers after they've been inside you. Sent, delivered, read. Ford, that's okay. You can tell me about it another time. I have something I need to take care of now, too. Again. So sweet dreams, my Valentina. I can't wait to see you tomorrow. I'd hoped to see her before I left, but when I got up at 6:30, her car was already gone. I waited until almost 8, but when she still hadn't come back, I had to get on the road. The meeting I blew off yesterday when Bella mentioned she'd left Val at the art exhibit with some guy had been rescheduled for 11 today, and I couldn't screw this guy again, so I finished my coffee and headed out. Though I only got about 2 miles before I came upon a roadside stand that sold fruit, vegetables, and fresh flowers. Sometimes my dad and I would drive out to Montauk a day later than my mom, and he'd always stop and pick up flowers at this place. I'd passed it a half dozen times over the last 2 weeks and never thought to stop. I pulled over to the side of the road and picked out an oversized bundle of wildflowers with giant sunflowers and then drove back to the house. Valentina's car was still missing, so I left them on the mat at her front door and stepped on the gas to get to my meeting. A few hours later, I sat in the lobby of an office, waiting for my 11 o'clock meeting to start, and I decided to send her another text. Ford, morning, beautiful. Hope you slept well. You were up and out early this morning. I'd been hoping to catch you before I left for the city so we could talk. I stopped before hitting send and smiled, deciding to add more. Ford, or make out some more. After a few seconds, the text changed to read. I got pumped when the dots started to jump around, but then they stopped. A minute later, they started again, then stopped again. Stop overthinking things, Valentina. No return text had arrived by late afternoon, so I assumed this was how it was going to be until I could get to her in person. Unfortunately, that wasn't going to be today. I needed to go into the office and do a few things after my meeting, and traffic on Friday night would be a bitch since it was the first official weekend of summer. But I wanted to know if